Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Me home.
You guys talk all the time about helping people. This might actually be the first time in your life you can.
By what? Killing people?
Yes.
Show me I mean anything to you. Show me you got better shit to do.
We interrupt this regularly scheduled podcast series to bring you a special one-off watch and review of Velocipasta. Is that what it's called?
The Velocipasta.
What year did this come out, guys?
2015. 18.
Fuck. I was way off. This is all thanks to Kiera, who is a big supporter of ours and keeps trying to get us to watch this movie.
I believe Kiera is the same person who introduced us to Kung Fu Yoga. The Jackie Chan film that we both thoroughly enjoyed. Yep. This is a breezy 75 minutes. The clue is in the title. Very much a film that you can immediately see.
What do we love?
Come up with a title and work backwards.
We love portmanteaus.
Yeah.
We love high concept. We love the notion of dinosaurs fusing with religious figures.
Mm.
And this film delivered on all three of those components.
That's right. This film initially was a trailer created by the creator Brendan Steer for a 2011 film school project. And the trailer went viral. And then years down the line, on a budget of $35,000 US.
That is essentially nothing.
The 75-minute version of the Velocipasta was made. And it's a movie that is, to its credit, they really made something here. There were a few big laughs throughout it, but I found it was like, there's a competition we've spoken about in the podcast before called the 48-Hour Film Festival, which is where teams are given genres, lines, props, and characters that they have to incorporate into a short film, and they've got 48 hours to create the entire thing.
And the genre. You get given your genre.
I said genres.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I led with genres.
Hey, Guy.
Yeah?
I apologize for not listening.
That's okay. Found a hair in my mouth.
I did see you pluck something out of your tongue. What were
it was a hair.
Do you think it was a hair belonging to you, or
really hard to say? I've got Rufus on my lap, by the way, Tim.
Yeah, beautiful sleepy
and
little
Rufus
dog.
Has licked his paws with such ferocity that he's actually also licked part of my jeans wet.
He does that.
That's very cat-like.
He's a cat-like dog. He's been sitting on my lap the entire film. Now he's sitting with you on the couch.
He's actually very cute. I'm doing that thing where you find something so cute, you grit your teeth and you want to go.
I was just at the weekend visiting a friend who's got a 3-month-old with my wife Zoe, and Zoe was talking about that concept of just wanting to like squeeze a baby too hard because it's so cute.
That is exactly what happens.
Do you want to do that to Rufus's stupid little head?
Sort of. Sometimes you're just near something that is so cute. I like start clenching all of my body. And
he's
I
go, a cute dog, right?
Yeah.
I know he's a fucking pain in the ass when people first come in because he's a mini schnauzer and that's his way. He yaps his ass off.
He loves to yap.
But he's getting better at it. And when he's not yapping his ass off, he's a very cute dog.
He's not unlike his papa. Yeah. He loves to yap.
I fucking will go you in the first 5 to 10 when you step in the door.
Undoubtedly.
But then I'll warm up to you and we'll have a good time and I'll fall asleep on your lap.
So this movie has all the hallmarks of a 48-hour film in that it has a very fun, dumb premise that they sort of explore. The production values are questionable. Occasionally,
and kind of worn on its sleeve as well.
Occasionally brilliant.
Mm.
But I was very excited by the premise. Everything about it showed a lot of promise. And I had a lot of trouble staying with it for the entirety of it because I felt like tonally it kind of lurches from place to place. And like sometimes it knew exactly the sort of jokes it wanted to be making or should be making. And then other times I was just like, just fucking pick a lane, get in it, and commit.
It was tricky, because the disappointing thing about this film, and it's not a disappointing film overall, especially hearing they made it for $35,000. That's fucking crazy.
It's almost
crazy.
Impossible to lodge genuine complaints about it. Yeah. 75 minutes. The premise is a priest who is also a velociraptor. It's like the Hulk, kind of.
There's a few... Yes, that's a great analogy. There's a few things that like happen out the gate where you really get set up for a fucking like genius comedy film. The look of it is great. They've got this kind of yellow sepia 70s tone.
Do you know how they did that?
It's just color grading, right?
After filming and before developing, the film was put in an oven and baked at 200 degrees Fahrenheit for 10 minutes to achieve the aged old look.
So they shot it on film.
Most of the scratches on the film were achieved manually by Brendan Stair, dragging the unprocessed film along surfaces in his bathroom.
Holy shit.
For it was the only room in his apartment with no windows and therefore dark enough to not expose the raw film.
Oh my, what a psycho.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So like, probably the strongest gag in the entire film happens in the first 2 minutes, and it's when the titular...
Velocipasta
sees the death of his parents, and it's cross-cutting between him looking on at them getting into a car and then what is supposed to be the car exploding in a ball of flame, but it's just got a placeholder title over where the car would be saying VFX go here. Is that what VFX a car on fire?
Yeah. And they go to that twice and you think this movie knows exactly what it is and what it's doing. And it really...
That's fucking funny, man.
It's brilliant. But it sets you up with such supreme confidence that I feel like other times when it tries harder to be a higher budget version of itself is when it's found wanting. Like, also,
it's so hard to make a film and get the whole way through and not fall into that hole of taking yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
There's a romance line and there's a semi-earnest sex scene in it, and it's just like, nah, this is about a fucking man of the cloth who turns into a dino.
They don't have the production value. Like, you know, they dance around that as well. You see, for a long time, you don't see the monster. And so you're sort of convinced of its merits. And then eventually at the end in the big final fight scene, they show the monster in its entirety. And it's just someone in a very hokey dinosaur costume.
It's so
true. And it's kind of, but again, the way they shoot it, it's like trapped between trying to capture an honest fight and then trying to capture how goofy it looks.
Yeah.
It's like you need to pick a side and stick to it.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, but there were other, like, some of the other big laughs for mine were at one point a character, there's a Vietnam War flashback, inexplicably.
It's so hard to figure out how old the characters are as well because of that.
And there's someone explodes by standing on a mine, and one of the soldiers watching on goes, I don't think we can save her.
After she's like,
she's too far
liquefied
gone.
from the landmine.
There's another great scene where the romance interest, the pastor and the woman who...
Carol
are talking to each other, and they're sort of like confessing their fears about their newfound plan, which is to channel his dinosaur powers into fighting crime. And she says, I don't know anything about the Bible. And he says, I don't know anything about dinosaurs. And again, that's on the money. There's a bit at the end when they're worried that she is going to die from wounds sustained in battle. And a doctor comes in and says, she's okay. You're good to see her now. And he goes, are you okay? She goes, I'm fine. And then makes him lean really far in. It looks like she's going to say she's pregnant or something. And then she just whispers again, I'm fine. And then they have a really great graphics guy come up on the screen which says, she's fine. And there are all these little moments like that which suggest that, like...
The filmmaker is capable of some big fucking laughs.
And, like, they're sort of self-referential and they're contained within the fun of the genre flick. But then all of the stuff around it, it's too earnest.
hey, kind of like this fucking review of a movie. It's a bit of fun.
Yeah.
$75,000. How long do you reckon it took them to shoot?
A week in a forest. They have one place they filmed it.
Yeah, this location, man. They get their money's worth out of some forest they found. It is China. It is Vietnam. It is Pennsylvania, I think.
No, well, the movie was first released. I actually don't know where it was filmed, but it was first released in Portland, Oregon. I feel like this was all made in Portland.
I know that the post got done in Latvia. Said that in the credits.
Fucking love
the
to
edit,
hear.
The editing.
You love to hear that. Honestly, it looked like it would have been a lot of fun to make. They would have had a lot of fun on set. It essentially felt like a sort of community theatres, like a small town community theatres summer project. They all got together and they're like, we'll make a movie about this.
The lead who plays Carol, sorry, I've forgotten her real name.
I'll get it up for you.
Once you look it up. She's fucking good. She's a good actor. I bought her performance. And the guy that they found to be I've forgotten his name as well, the pastor and the Velocipastor. He is
Greg Cohen.
Pretty good, but his look is fantastic. He kind of looks, he's like buff, super classically handsome, chiseled chin, and he looks like he would be a good lead in Book of Mormon, you know?
He does look like he'd be a good lead in the Book of Mormon.
Clean cut, all-American hero.
From what I can tell...
Is it Alyssa something? Alicia, maybe?
Yeah, it's Alyssa Kempinski, and... this would be close to
her only.
No, there's 36 entries on IMDb, but the only one I can really recognize is she was in an episode of that HBO series, The Deuce, which I never watched, but they made anyway.
Mm-hmm. Do they make that in spite of you telling them not to?
I didn't tell them not to. I just didn't tune in.
Oh, okay.
Didn't seem to have any impact on them.
Right.
And then that lead
guy. How does that make you feel?
Well. I got to respect it. If everything waited for my sign-off, we wouldn't have a lot of the stuff we have today. We wouldn't have a lot of the houses people are living in. We wouldn't have a lot of the cards, a lot of the people, a lot of the meals. I mean, there
you sign off on a few of the meals.
Yeah. I'm mostly involved with them. I would say 20% of the meals I sign off, I'm involved with. 80% of the meals I sign off, it's just paperwork. It comes across my desk. It's nothing to do with me at the end of the day. But
right.
People are going
to... Do you have to rubber stamp it or anything, or it just kind of like comes and goes off sort of thing?
I shouldn't be saying this. Sometimes I don't even read what's being submitted.
You approve.
I stamp it. I go, yeah. Signing off on this.
Has that ever gone dastardly?
Yeah, big time. Absolutely.
What's the worst like meal that you've approved accidentally?
Someone ate someone else's grandparents.
Yeah.
There was a huge bureaucratic mistake in the office adjacent to mine.
Yeah.
And... yeah,
it's a way more full-on mistake than I was expecting in sort of the culinary world.
Yeah, and I have not taken responsibility for that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, no one has.
Did you? The way that you word that, it feels like the problem
lives
is...
and dies in my office.
The way that you phrase that makes it seem like the issue is the person didn't eat their own grandparents and that that's what's supposed to happen.
No one was meant to be eating any grandparents.
Right. That's what I
In an
I
ideal
think
world, Tim. Yeah, I'm against it.
Yeah. Controversially, I'd agree with you as well. I think we're both on the same side on that
one. What happens if you get bogged down in the muck and the mire of bureaucracy and you're caught rubber stamping 80% of the meals that you're not actually eating.
Mm.
Occasionally, someone's going to eat someone else's grandparents. Mm. Sorry.
Mm.
Didn't realize that was a crime.
Hey, how's your week been?
What is it? I mean, we're recording on a Tuesday, so it's been pretty short. I did a lot of administrative tasks yesterday. I am nursing... a toe injury that is no longer as painful as it was, but literally refuses to heal properly. So I'm going to a doctor after this.
There's a lot of toe injuries at the moment.
Who else has got a bad toe?
Man, I was talking to someone last night who's got a bad...
Where were you last night?
I can't remember.
What the fuck are you doing talking to people when I'm not...
Monday. Who the fuck... Oh, did we stop recording? I think we're good. I can't even remember where I was last night. I was at home. This doesn't make any sense.
I can smell Maybe Rufus's tongue on my jeans now.
That's weird. Maybe I was talking to you about your infected toe. Zoe's had a bad toe.
Oh, no.
Yeah. There's a few toes going around. But I thought there was a third person, but I think
never,
it was just you twice.
Never trust a doctor with a faulty toe.
Do you reckon? A skinny chef.
Yeah.
But what if the chef is just like working out or whatever?
I mean, yeah, I think it's a dated concept. That's why I'm trying to
get... Do you reckon chefs get paid enough?
I don't know how much work they do. I mean, I'm getting paid pretty significant chunk of change to rubber stamp a lot of these meals. So I'd hope they're getting at least what I'm getting, if not more.
The buck stops with you, in theory, but it actually doesn't.
No.
Apparently that saying doesn't mean what we think it does.
The buck stops here.
Yeah. I can't remember what the actual meaning is, but like the meaning of it's changed a lot since when it was originally thought up. I think it might have been FDR who came up with it.
Really?
Maybe.
How do you think brass tacks is spelt? Let's get down to brass tacks.
I always thought it was the wrong. I thought it was T-A-X.
Yeah.
Always. For my entire life. But it isn't. It's T-A-C-T-S.
No, it's T-A-C-K-S. Like tacks, like drawing pins.
I thought it was... Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That's probably how that's spelled.
Brass tacks.
Yeah. I just misspelt the... Like tack, a pin, like a drawing pin.
You were spelling tacks like...
To be tacked.
Yeah, like wiles or not wiles.
Act with tact.
Yeah.
It's not wiles. To act with tact is sort of a sensitivity in a way.
Deftly within a situation. Yeah, but if you've got your wiles about you, I guess wily is more cunning. But I was imagining...
Words are fun, aren't they?
They really are. I love them.
A lot of fun to be had with words, I think. What was your... of the whole film...
Uh-huh.
Let's do it the opposite. What was your least favourite bit? I think we've given the film a bit of credit and kudos.
We go up and down. The bits that we've outlined, there was one other bit I really enjoyed, which was when the Velocipasta amputates the sort of main enemy's head. And it's like very poorly done in that it's like obviously a mannequin's head been dressed up to look vaguely like the person that has just been slain. And he sort of holds it up and his face is splattered in blood and he's like screaming. And then the freeze frame on it and some quite soothing music comes up. And there's a quote that says like, to attain peace first, we must eradicate violence or something. And it accredits it to Gandhi. And I was like, this is really funny. And it feels like the credit's going to roll, but then they don't. All of the moments that I enjoyed have now been outlined. And the thing that I didn't enjoy were the 70 minutes around it, where it was just like...
That's rough.
I know. I'm being so...
You're being so critical.
Needlessly critical. It's just that I was really excited.
Yeah, you weren't... I feel like you never quite got into the driver's
seat
of this film. Yeah, I really... You know, I was trying to bash in there and ride saddle with this film.
And you did.
Yeah, I think I did. I didn't love all of it, but it was good.
What was your least favorite bit?
It's all of this stuff about like the development of the romantic relationship. All that stuff really fucks me off in a quality comedy film.
Can we troubleshoot this movie? Because what went wrong was that...
No, Tim and Guy.
Well, for a start... But then the Velocipasta, it's like if you've got this incredible premise, which is a pastor who is a raptor, like let's see them at their fucking, let's see them delivering a sermon and wrestling with their fucking, you know, metamorphosis in front of their congregation.
That would be fun.
Let's
cross cut the night before him like eating drug dealers and pimps.
Let's get a list of all the things that you want to see from a dinosaur, all the things that you see a pastor do, and let's like... marry them to each other.
This is the Ricky Gervais method of
instead of having
joke
these
making.
Two things and then being like, we're not going to really deal with either of them. The whole movie's about a drug ring.
You're so right, man.
It doesn't make any fucking sense. It's like, sell me what it says on the tin.
Yeah, because this is how you, like, without getting too inside baseball, but this is often how you build a joke. You go, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this. What's the thing that can connect the two? Mm. And they didn't do that in this movie, which is why the comedy didn't quite work. So what is the similarity between a velociraptor and a pasta?
Well, it's like it's just what is the...
I reckon what I want to see is like a bunch of baby or just smaller velociraptors like listening to a sermon by the end of it. So like the velociraptor has become a pasta, but a dinosaur version of it. And he's like giving a velociraptor sermon to a whole bunch of dinosaurs.
You want to see more dinosaurs than the one.
I just want to... I don't know the wherefores and the hows yet, but what I want to see is the velociraptor becoming... So I want to see the journey of the pastor becoming the inhuman monster velociraptor, but then that velociraptor kind of Bruce Bannering up a little bit, gaining control and a little bit of sentience and emotionality... And being able to give sermons as a velociraptor.
See,
so the monster matures.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I quite like, I mean, yeah, because the monster just remained a monster fun. The whole time. I would see, I wanted to see the pastor in congregation as a well-respected member of the community. I wanted to see the pastor like ingrained in the broader community. This pastor is a loner. They lose their parents. I understand that.
But they've got budget.
They've got no friends. Yeah. So I wanted to see the pastor in front of, you know, the congregation metamorphosize and people being outraged and disgusted, and then the community learning to love and accept the difference within the Velocipasta and being
fun.
Like, oh, wow, do you know what? This is okay. Being different is okay. And you could have a lot of laughs and a lot of fun in there, but I
like the town getting on board with the Velociraptor. And then it's like the town and the Velociraptor versus the world.
But it's just, instead it was just a pastor who becomes a dinosaur and then kind of abandons his post and deals with, like, a criminal underworld or a side plot which is not tethered to what we're invested in.
I really liked the pimp. So Carol is a sex worker in this film, and she has a pimp, and I don't know who the guy is who played him, but I thought he was fucking hilarious. There's probably my favorite scene is him in the confessional booth. Just like, he's just such a good like character, and he had such a great voice.
Yeah, the pimp
real good
is
comedy
called,
style to listing all of the things he was in confession for. It's like, ah, Jesus Christ, I stole candy from a baby. I threw the baby off a bridge. Jesus Christ, where do I begin? I killed a guy yesterday.
Yeah, his name was Frankie Mermaid.
And he's smoking cigarettes the entire time he's in the confessional booth.
And he says, you can't smoke in here. And the Frankie Mermaid says, Frankie Mermaid can smoke wherever he goes because his life is on fire.
It's fun.
That's fun.
That's the kind of confidence you need from the whole movie. And actually, at one point in this movie, I paused it and I said, Guy, I want to show you what this film should be. And I showed you the trailer for Kung Fury.
Yeah.
Which was a phenomenal piece of filmmaking. If you haven't seen Kung Fury, I'm pretty sure it's freely available on YouTube. It might have actually got sold to Netflix later. 31 minutes long. It's so cool. It's like the ultimate genre piece of this guy who I think might have... the star of it is also the guy who wrote it and directed it and produced it. And I think he might have done some of the animation. Jesus Christ. The animation as well. And it's like... It's so brilliant. A time-traveling New York cop who travels from the 80s after he gets his badge taken off of, for, I think, going too hard out on the gangs, accidentally travels too far back in time when he's trying to defeat Hitler, ends up in a Viking age, befriends
a demigod?
Who's the Norse version of Zeus?
I don't know.
I can't remember, but, like, that guy.
Yeah.
He rides a dinosaur.
The trailer looked amazing, and I'm sure the trailer for this is actually fantastic as well. It just comes down to confidence. It's like it's just, this is true across so many parts of life. It's true. I often think when I'm watching comedy, It's like the difference between someone who's starting being good and then being good is just like they emanate self-belief.
Yeah, and the material doesn't necessarily change
not at
that
all.
Much.
Think about like some of the most successful comedians in the world. Their material is balls.
Yeah.
They don't have to write good material anymore, but like they're just so sure of themselves.
Yeah.
And the audience have also like developed this supreme faith in them that they almost exist above, like a strata above normal criticism or fears. And what happened with this movie was it started confident. It was like, here's a VFX gag, here's people dying, here's everything you need to know. Also very
Tim and Guy going, keep it up.
Very funny thing after the death of the parents in the VFX gag, the camera's on the pastor who's crying, and it kind of like zooms in on him and then zooms past him onto like the wall of the church. And then for about 15 seconds just starts like shakily moving across all these different parts. And it's like they've just deliberately left in this awful, functionless camera work.
That
and
was fucking
you're
funny.
Like, this is going to be great. Yeah. And then it sort of loses its way. But it's a confidence game. Everything comes down to confidence.
Straight out the gate, two solid gags on filmmaking itself.
Yeah.
It's like, here are some jokes at the expense of traditional filmmaking.
Yeah.
And I just like if they had to just run with that the whole time, it would have been so good.
I mean, I love the length. I love that a movie can be 75 minutes.
Hey, but Kung Fury, 31 minutes. Great film.
Like, you know, I think if you trim the fat and you just got down, like if you just had the guy becoming the Velocipasta, killing a few people, the movie finishing.
This is the thing, right? It's always it's hard to go. I wouldn't say it's easy to come up with a good idea, but it is possible. It's very possible to come up with a good idea. It's very possible to come up with a funny title. It is harder to sustain a good 90 minutes of comedy.
But
and you don't have to these days.
This motherfucker made something. They went out there. They did it. We're on our asses talking about it.
Absolutely.
This is not the sort of film that we are in a position to criticize.
Nah.
Because this is literally, if we put our heads together, what we would create.
Compare this film's budget. I actually would love to do the math on this to Sex and the City 2.
Well, what's like 10 million minus 35,000?
What was the budget of Sex and the City 2? I'm looking it up. We can't both be on our phones at once. My God.
I'm just sending an email.
Well, don't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Was it $100 million? That's what it says here.
$100 million.
Was it actually?
Holy
shit. Does that
ring
any bells? Yeah, the box office was almost $300, so that might be true. Fuck.
That sounds exactly right.
All right, so I'm going to pull up a calculator. So I think the way we work this out, what did we say it was? The budget, $35,000?
Yeah.
$35,000 divided by... 100, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3 equals times 100. What have I just figured out? I think it is. I think this. Yeah, that's right. This film, the budget is 0.035% of Sex and the City 2's budget. And you know
what? This is like.
We've watched both of them.
This is a morning's shooting on Sex and the City.
This would be. Okay, let's do this. This is fun. How many days. 40 days? I think that's... No. For Sex and the City 2.
Yeah.
That's reasonable, right? Probably 40 days.
Yeah.
So what is... so we go that times 40.
How do you divide 40 by 100 million?
This would be 1.5 days. Oh, no. 1.5 hours? Fuck, I've lost the thread.
I honestly think this is like... This is a morning on
Sex
and the City.
You shouldn't do math on a podcast.
And if you look at the constituent parts, Brendan Steer and the Velocipasta team have created something that is infinitely, like, literally incalculably.
Just move on. Pick a different word. I'm not going to jump in that mire with you.
Fuck, yes, you are.
Incalculably. I can't do it.
It's a good one, no. Incalculably... Better, more worthwhile.
New podcast. Tim and Guy try to pursue the word.
Can you? How do you say? What's the second month of the year?
February.
Where do you get a book from?
Library.
These are challenging words.
Are they? I just dropped the first R in February because it's
and
like
you did it in,
fuck you.
And what did you do? So where do you get rent?
Because it's supposed to be February, right?
February.
No one says that. You sound like a fucking idiot.
What country?
Libya.
No.
Or George W. Bush. Libya. Libya.
Libya. Is that what he said?
I don't know.
Yeah, fucking.
So is that something you would? What were you going to hit me with
next? I was going to do Ireland.
Oh, yeah, I do say Ireland.
And what do you say for like You can get a lot of it from steak and stuff. If you have a you can have iron? A deficiency. Yeah. How do you say it?
Iron.
And what about irony?
Irony.
Say all of them consecutively.
Ireland, iron, irony.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah.
That is really crisp pronunciation.
You dig it?
Yeah, I fucking
Why aren't I getting more
it?
Voice work slash any voice work? Oh, except for fucking Big Talk Burgers. Fuck.
Hey, check that out. If you want to see a fucking passion
Dude,
project done right.
Holy shit. Guy and I got shoulder tapped to just be involved in this animated series. And it took us all of like a half day.
During lockdown.
To just
it took,
throw some
It took
VOs
me all
out.
Of like 15 minutes on a call with this guy.
And then like
Ian
a
Worthington.
Month later, Ian is just produced single-handedly these incredible cartoons with our voices in them. And it's like, honestly, hand on heart, probably the coolest fucking thing I've ever been involved in.
If you wanna,
they're so awesome.
You want to find Ian on Twitter.
Worthy Kids.
Worthy Kids. W-R-T-H-I Kids. And the show Big Top Burgers, if you look it up on
oh
YouTube.
Oh my God, did that stop recording?
You can have a lot of fun.
No?
You're going to have a lot of laughs. This is dicey, this recording.
I got
thing,
a backup. Huh? That one's recording too, so we're good. Don't worry about it.
Good on
Don't
you,
worry
man.
About the thing.
All right. Velocipasta. Well, pitch me the sequel. Go.
Okay, here we go. Velocipasta 2.
Remembering that the lead left the church at the end of the film.
I do understand that. He started smoking and gained a leather jacket. Carol and he board a plane. 4. A little nation you may have heard of called Japan. Now, hey, wait a minute. Why were they fighting ninjas in China?
They were fighting them in America.
He was in China,
that's
got
where,
the tooth.
That's where he
got
suddenly had these,
with the
yeah.
gift. Okay. Velocipasta 2. I think it is a Hulk story of him taming the velociraptor inside of him. Funny highlights include the velociraptor in a bespoke therapy session where there's all these safety measures put up, like metal bars and electrified caging and stuff, with a Sigmund Freud looking, like super Sigmund Freud looking psychoanalyst. What else have we got? A baby, okay? Carol and he have sexual congress.
This is
and sire a child. The child is 1/3 velociraptor, but doesn't transform at all. Just perpetually is.
Oh,
you ever seen the Super Mario Bros. Movie?
No.
Well, that
should we? Should I?
We absolutely should. I think it might be the first movie I ever saw on the big screen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't it a disaster?
Unspeakably bad. Crazy. It's the largest video game franchise that's ever happened, and the movie sucks so much dog shit that it's like unbelievable the decisions they made. They try to marry like the real world with the Super Mario
concept.
Can
we watch the trailer after this?
Absolutely. I'm going by memory here, but the premise is there's like a set of humans living among us who are villains because they evolved from dinosaurs, unlike us who evolved from apes.
Oh, wow.
And they're like the King Koopa, Bowser rather, lineage. It's fucked, man. The whole thing's super fucked.
Why? You've read that book, Sapiens.
Mm-hmm.
And there were several different like iterations of what people could become.
Yeah.
But we, Homo sapiens.
Yeah.
Why did that happen?
Why did
Homo sapiens, I don't want to say triumph, but like why did we...
We did triumph evolutionarily.
Yeah. Why?
It was a combination of, well, probably three things. A, we fought.
Yeah.
And so whoever was the toughest won out.
Did everyone fight?
But I imagine so. But well, you know, at some point you throw down if you're being attacked. B, I'm pretty sure there was a lot of like crossbreeding going on. So like, you know how people say you can get tested for like your Neanderthal composition and your DNA? That. And C, there were just some, I don't know what the terminology is, species of humans? Like kind of species of our forebears that were not well suited to survive whatever the environment threw at them. So, like, pygmy humans were around. There were a few different subspecies. I don't know. Breeds?
Yeah.
Breeds of humans who were rocking around like that, and they just couldn't cope as well as the others. This is the same story as anything else in evolution, you know?
Did we have to fundamentally sort of assert ourselves over the, like, if we trace back our origins, were we at some point like particularly bad? Or
if you listen to Joe Rogan,
okay, which I don't.
No, I can't remember.
Huge shout out to the JRE.
None. No, absolutely not. I rescind that on Guy's behalf. He's rubber stamping without looking into things. Don't look into it.
Why is he a problem now?
He's just a meathead. He's always been a meathead.
Quasi-intellectual meathead.
Look, he's got a favorite theory of his, and I can't remember who the person is who he like got it off, but who's been on the show a few times. The stoned ape theory, in that it was literally like a cognitive change that happened when our forebears started hoeing into psychedelic mushrooms, and psilocybin gave them the creativity to start doing this other shit, which eventually led to things like language and adaptable survival skills.
Is Joe Rogan Alex Jones light?
No, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go that far. I think that's an unfair brush to tarnish him with. As someone who's listened to a lot of Alex Jones for fun previously in life,
like
before Alex
ago.
Jones became what he is now.
Yeah.
I used to listen to him heaps, man.
Yeah, you used to study him as a broadcaster,
right?
He was
the world's greatest entertainer.
Mm. And then it all went awry.
It all went awry because he started fucking painting what is it called? Your colours to the flag? Paint your colours to the... I'm mixing idioms now. What else happens in Velocipasta 2? I reckon... I reckon it's shorter. It's a 45-minute film. I reckon there's less pop punk in it.
Here's my pitch.
Yeah, I would love to hear this.
He's left the church.
Cool.
But he's not finished with the notion of higher consciousness or organized religion and joins Scientology, elevates through the ranks for reasons unbeknownst to himself.
Is it infiltration or does he buy in?
He sort of buys in. They make it to LA. He sort of gets a Dianetics, is that what it's called? He goes and says, I'll get the testing done. Gets the testing done because he sort of doesn't have a grasp on what it is, and because there's some sort of like interspecial or other energy coursing through him. He tests off the charts, and the entry position he's afforded in this Church of Scientology is really high.
This.
And all of a sudden starts like ascending the ranks because he's got this ruthless streak that they've never seen before since L. Ron, and they're like, wow, this guy is tabbed for stardom. Makes it to pretty near at least the front-facing part of the church.
Above
like in charge
or below Tom Cruise? Maybe that's the conflict. I mean, that's a pretty good conflict.
It would be amazing if we could get Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
But certainly adjacent to Tom
Cruise.
Should we
get Evan, the Tom Cruise lookalike? Yeah. Ferris.
And sort of like starts being this really active, forward-facing member of the Church of Scientology, but behind the scenes is like cutting up people like in corridors and like is still does not have that velociraptor part of himself under control. And it's sort of this marriage, it's just like it's this there's this great conflict of interest as the velocipasta like furthers the cause, like furthers the beliefs and like recruits new people to Scientology while also taking apart like a lot of the operational people within it at a reasonably high level. And it's sort of this ongoing conflict, and eventually I think totally destroys the infrastructure that the Church of Scientology has and supplants it with like people who praise the notion of the Velocipasta, and so essentially forms a new organized religion within the shell of Scientology.
Your one is so good. I fucking love it. It works as a comedy premise. It works as a great metaphor. It's just the right amount of silly and juicy. It's like Mark Zuckerberg on an electric surfboard with his face painted like the fucking Joker's from who was Batman back in the day?
Adam West.
Joker on a surfboard, fucking juicy
with his
bun
massive
motherfucker.
Silicon implants poking out the back end of his fucking rip curl board shorts.
Are we allowed to talk about Mark Zuckerberg's buns? big juicy buns? Because there was so much going on in that picture that it's hard to zone in on any one aspect. He's got Crocs on his hands. Someone pointed that out to me after I put the photo on Twitter. I was like, look at this fucking goofy motherfucker. I didn't even realize he was wearing a hoodie because I was looking at his goddamn white painted face. And then someone just wrote below it, Crocs on hands. I didn't even see that.
I don't like Zuckerberg as a rule, but I admire every decision that he's made for himself in that photograph. I'm like, dude, you have no further to fall. Literally embrace anything that occurs to you. This is an instance of Zuckerberg creating a public good. There's no net negative what is happening in that photo.
No one's hurt.
It's just like, it's a genuine gift.
It's quite selfless in a way, isn't it? What he's given the world.
Absolutely.
And we fucking needed it right now.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Mark. But this feels like Killionaire territory to me, actually.
Wow. It's an entirely different kettle of fish.
Yep. It's a plug for our other podcast, which you can catch also on Patreon. So, Kira, thank you so much for driving this.
Yeah, with for such inspiring our morning and conversation.
And we'll catch everybody in the next episode of whatever the fuck it is we're making.
That's right.
West idea forever and ever. West idea of all time, for all time.
Pretty good. That's a t-shirt.
Insane, Doug. God does not want people dead.
Oh, I think God wants a lot of people dead.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.